Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
We have new court documents and police radio traffic related to a crash that killed a UNC student a month ago today. The new information that gives us a better idea of what happened that night.
And I'm tracking the next system back to the west. It'll roll in here just in time for the weekend. I'll show you when we're most likely to see rain.
And if you're a U.S. citizen living in or traveling in Russia, leave right now. That's a message from the U.S. State Department. The latest incident ramping up tension between the U.S. and Russia. Right now at noon, we have new information about the Chapel Hill crash that killed a UNC student and resulted in charges against three UNC football players and many others. Hello, everyone. I'm Renee Chu.
And I'm Jeff Hogan. Thanks for joining us. The crash happened a month ago today. Also today, new court documents and police radio traffic that is helping to lay out what happened that night.
WRAL's Sarah Kruger is live where the crash happened on East Barbie Chapel Road at Raleigh Road. Sarah, you've spent the last 90 or so minutes looking through that new paperwork. What are you finding?
Renee, I have. This is just such a sad case, and as the details come out, it just gets more and more tragic. As you mentioned, that crash was right behind me here exactly 1 month ago, and bit by bit, day by day, as these court documents come out, we are learning more about what led up to it.
A newly released warrant reveals one of the three UNC football players charged, Zachary Rice, was traveling 15 yards behind a vehicle that was traveling 124 miles per hour in a 45 mile per hour zone, possibly supporting what WRAL has reported that we learned street racing may have been a factor in the deadly crash. We know the leading car is the one driven by 20-year-old UNC student Flamija Brewer. That's the car that got in a single-vehicle crash, killing passenger and fellow UNC student Molly Rotunda. Radio traffic released by police today indicates officers got an automated 911 call from one of the iPhones in the car.
Stancil Drive, just off of Barbie Chapel Road. Stancil, just off of Barbie Chapel. Motor vehicle collision with injury. I came in as an automated message from a cell phone. Durham got a call as well. Five turns of vehicle, it's overturned. One person that's unconscious.
WRAL has reported that 10 people, at least six of them UNC students, and at least one, an NC Central student, are facing charges related to the investigation. That investigation ultimately involved alcohol law enforcement, too, as they pieced together the underage drinking they say was occurring in the hours before at Still Life Bar on Franklin Street. WRAL has learned the two Still Life employees charged with serving alcohol to minors are UNC students themselves.
And the defendants charged in this have court dates spread out over the coming weeks and months. Now, one question I have asked, but I have not been able to get an answer to, is the blood alcohol level for those two underage drivers. That's something that may come out down the line as we keep getting these court documents back day by day. Renee and Jeff.
Sarah Kruger live in Chapel Hill. Sarah, thanks.
And happening right now in the WRAL Life Center, we are following some breaking news out of Hoke County this afternoon. The school district there says one of their school resource officers were hurt after being hit by a vehicle. They sent out a note saying our thoughts and prayers are with our own officer today. They were struck by a vehicle while directing traffic at Sandy Grove Elementary. We thank all who stopped to assist the officer in time of need and greatly appreciate our community. They are expected to be okay. Again, this happened at Sandy Grove Elementary School. They also say this is just a reminder to slow down in school zones.
American citizens living in or traveling to Russia should leave immediately. That's the warning from the U.S. State Department. It comes as U.S. officials learned Russia has detained a ballerina with dual Russian-American citizenship on suspicion of treason. Alex Hogan explains the efforts to bring Ksenia Karolina back to the U.S. safely.
We're learning more about the American being held in Russia on spy charges. She's been identified as 33-year-old Ksenia Karolina, a dual Russian-American citizen living in Los Angeles. She works at a spa in Beverly Hills. She's also a ballerina. But on a recent trip to her hometown of Yekaterinburg, she was arrested and accused of raising money for the Ukrainian military. reportedly about $50. The State Department says American diplomats are trying to gain access to her, but it won't be easy.
Russia's not recognized dual citizenship, considers them to be Russian citizens first and foremost, and so oftentimes we have a difficult time getting consular assistance.
Making things even more difficult, relations with Russia are near an all-time low. More American sanctions are coming in response to the death of opposition leader Alexei Navalny in a Russian prison, prompting fears that Karolina could be used as a political pawn.
At this point, the relations are so low that I don't expect any improvements. How do you negotiate with a person whom you actually designated as a killer?
The State Department is now recommending U.S. citizens not travel to Russia because of, quote, the singling out of U.S. citizens for detention. Meanwhile, her friends and family are working hard to shine a light on the situation, hoping that the publicity will keep her safe until they can get her home.
I know that we need to create some noise. We need to get some attention to this cause, and we need to get her out of the jail.
That was Alex Hogan reporting, and if convicted under Russia criminal code, Ksenia Karolina could face 12 to 20 years in prison. Federal prosecutors say the informant who allegedly fed the FBI false info about Hunter Biden said he got the info from Russian intelligence. Former FBI informant faces two counts in connection with lies he allegedly told his handler. Alexander Smirnov made his first court appearance in Las Vegas yesterday. Smirnov's claims were a key part of the Republican impeachment inquiry into President Joe Biden.
Our next weathermaker will bring rain for parts of Friday. Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRS Severe Weather Center with a look at how wet it will be to kick off our weekend. Elizabeth.
Well, let's take a look at the big picture. High pressure keeps things nice and dry for today and tomorrow, but this system developing back to our west will arrive Thursday night into the first half of the day on Friday. We could use some rain, actually. We're behind for the month, but this doesn't look like it's going to be a big rainmaker for us. Let's take a look. Kicking things off tomorrow at about 4 o'clock. Tomorrow's going to be a really nice day, but during the late afternoon and evening, we'll begin to see the skies clouding up. There'll be a little bit of rain potential on Thursday evening. You could see at 9 o'clock some showers in our eastern counties and at 10 o'clock in our northern counties. It probably isn't going to be much on Thursday night. We'll have a better chance on Friday morning. We'll pause it here at 4 a.m., which is when we start to see some of the isolated showers moving through. It does look like we could see some more widespread rain around 6 o'clock on Friday morning, but it looks like it's pulling out by 8 or 9 o'clock. And once we get to the middle of the morning, it's out of here and will begin to clear. This does mean it's going to be a messy morning commute for us on Friday morning. Sometimes it doesn't take a whole lot of rain to make things feel more uncomfortable. Ahead of the front, it's going to be nice and warm on Thursday and parts of Friday, but behind it, it turns cooler. I'll show you what the temperatures will look like for the weekend and our chance of showers on Saturday night coming up.
The person who fired shots at a vehicle, causing it to crash, is on the run. Authorities shut down Mitchell Mill Road in Wake County for hours. WRL's Laura Levine reports on what we're learning about the investigation and the two people hurt in the crash.
We are here at the Wake County Sheriff's Office where that investigation continues. Broadcastify radio traffic is giving us a better idea of what may have happened, indicating that a road rage and street racing could have played a factor. Take a look at some of that video from the scene where you can see multiple crews responding. The Wake County Sheriff's Office says shots were fired at a vehicle on Mitchell Mill Road near Roseville around 8 o'clock last night. The Sheriff's Office and the Roseville Police Department responded to the report of a vehicle hit by gunfire, which crashed while traveling west. A Jeep Wrangler and a dark-colored SUV were traveling on that road when the shots were fired at the Jeep, causing the vehicle to drive off the road and flip onto its side. Take a listen to this Broadcastify radio traffic detailing the situation.
The crews are actually evaluating her right now. This apparently was a road rage incident in which they shot at. So they are trying to evaluate her right now to make sure that she doesn't have any gunshot wounds.
The driver and the passenger of that Jeep were taken to a nearby hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. They sustained those injuries from the crash, not from the shooting. At this time, that driver, the person who fired the shots, still on the run. So anyone with information is asked to give the Wake County Sheriff's Office a call. Laura Levine, WRL News in Raleigh.
Now to Decision 2024, where Nikki Haley is vowing to stay in the race for the GOP presidential nomination, even as new poll numbers have her almost 30 points behind former President Trump. The next Republican contest is the South Carolina primary on Saturday. Haley says she plans to keep campaigning through Super Tuesday. Meanwhile, former President Trump took some swipes at Haley, saying you're not supposed to lose your own state, and Haley is losing hers really big. When asked whether he would prefer to face Trump or Haley, President Biden said he didn't care.
The Biden administration is considering action it hopes will reduce the number of migrants crossing the border. The actions under review would make it harder for migrants to qualify for asylum at the U.S.-Mexico border. It would also make the deportation process quicker for migrants who don't meet specific criteria. It's unclear if the policies would be proposed through executive order or new federal regulation.
Immigration attorneys are urging anyone who plans to apply for citizenship to submit their application before the costs rise April 1st. That's the date when they're expected to go up. The naturalization form costs $640 for the paper application, $720 with the fingerprint fee. The cost of both jumps to $760 on April 1st. The cost of a green card, the first step to citizenship, will jump as well. More than 9 million permanent residents in the United States are eligible to apply for U.S. citizenship.
A conference is underway for visually impaired students in Raleigh. Lenovo is hosting 18 students from the Governor Moorhead School of the Blind. Today, students are learning new ways to use technology to help them navigate the world and workforce.
Part of the partnership is talking to students about the technologies they want to use on the day-to-day, what features would be most beneficial to them, and many times we share with them our products and get feedback.
The event's keynote speaker, Lex Gillette, is a Raleigh native. He's a five-time Paralympic medalist and an 18-time national champion. Gillette spoke to students about his experience as a visually impaired person and ways to overcome challenges in life to thrive.
Next at noon, another issue on a Boeing jet. What caused this United Airlines plane to unexpectedly cut its cross-country trip short and land without further incident?
Also, the families of Gabby Petito and Brian Laundrie are together at a mediation conference. The claims in a new lawsuit regarding Petito's death.
Plus, new numbers are out for respiratory illnesses in our state. And at 12:30, the trend experts are finding.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air, Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.
Passengers experienced some scary moments on board a flight from San Francisco to Boston. A passenger filmed this outside his window. The slat on the wing of the Boeing 757 was damaged. About 45 minutes into the flight, the passenger noticed that the pilot looking at the wing as well.
He goes behind me, and I was kind of sleepy, so I wasn't paying much attention at that point. But then he goes back to the cockpit, and he comes on the PA and says, "We've discovered we have some damage on one of the front flaps, and we're going to divert to Denver and put you all in a different plane."
Boeing has been under scrutiny since a door panel on a different kind of plane, a 737 MAX 9, blew off during Alaska Airlines flight in January. The FBI and FAA are investigating after an airline passenger tried to open an emergency door during the flight. This happened yesterday on an American Airlines flight from Albuquerque to Chicago. Passengers wrestled the man down while crew members duct taped the man's legs together. The pilot turned the plane around and safely landed in Albuquerque, where the man was taken into police custody.
Attorneys for Hunter Biden are trying to get the tax charges against him in California dismissed. Defense attorneys argue that the special counsel was unlawfully appointed. Prosecution is selective and vindictive, and that Hunter Biden's rights were violated by IRS whistleblowers. The arguments are similar to the ones made in the gun case against Hunter Biden in Delaware. Hunter Biden has pleaded not guilty to 9 counts over an alleged scheme to avoid paying taxes from 2016 to 2019. An investigation is underway at a high school in Massachusetts where white students are accused of holding an online slave auction to bid on their black classmates. Students are also accused of making derogatory racial remarks against a female black student. The local chapter of the NAACP called for the school district to investigate those allegations. The superintendent says the district concluded its investigation but can't comment on disciplinary actions.
The families of Gabby Petito and Brian Laundrie are expected to attend a mediation conference today. Petito's parents filed a lawsuit claiming the Laundries knew their son killed his fiancé but withheld that information. Petito's family reported the 22-year-old missing in September of 2021 after Brian Laundry returned to his parents' Florida home. He died by suicide, leaving letters claiming responsibility for Petito's death. If the mediation is unsuccessful, then the case will go to trial in May. Jury selection begins today in the trial of the armorer who was on the set of the Rust film when that deadly shooting occurred. Hannah Gutierrez-Reed has pleaded not guilty to involuntary manslaughter and tampering with evidence in the death of Helena Hutchins. Prosecutors say it was her fault that live ammunition ended up in a prop gun that actor Alec Baldwin fired during rehearsal. Prosecutors plan to focus on the lax safety protocols on set. Baldwin has also pleaded not guilty to involuntary manslaughter.
11-year-old Ava Simmons, known as the STEM princess, is in the national spotlight today. She turned her love for science, technology, engineering, and math into a toy line now available in stores. WRL's Ken Smith is here with her story of determination and inspiration. Ken.
Jeff, we should all be proud of this little girl. She appeared on the Drew Barrymore Show that aired just before our new newscast on our sister station Fox 50. Ava and her sister China Jeter created their own brand of merchandise called Team Genius Squad. The goal is to promote STEM awareness and get more young people to pursue their goals. The STEM-inspired accessories and toys include coloring books, DIY slime, science experiment kits, one of which she demonstrated on the show. Here's what Ava said when Drew asked her about starting the Team Genius Squad brand.
When I was 7 years old, I was being bullied and teased in school because I couldn't read like everyone else. And I felt really bad about it. So I started getting in trouble to stop reading in front of the other kids. So I told my mom, and she took me to go and get tested and found out I had dyslexia. So I started the squad to help me and encourage others.
About that, Ava's a shining example for so many people, young and old. There you see her with her mother and grandmother. She even conducted an acid-based experiment on the show. Ava is a student at Spring Valley Elementary in Durham. You can catch the Drew Barrymore Show weekday mornings at 11 and the rebroadcast again at 3 a.m. on Fox 50. Jeff, I spoke to her mother, Tita, before the show. She said she cried during the taping of the show and she cried watching the show just a little while ago.
I don't blame her. Yeah. The pride just showing through there. DIY slime, one of the most fun things to do.
Unbelievable.
Oh, kids love slime, for sure.
What a proud moment for all of us, really.
Yeah, it's
what
really
an
is.
Inspiration mm-hmm. Ava is, and so great to see her featured in the national spotlight.
I'm inspired. Thanks, Ken. I'm inspired by looking at what's behind Elizabeth Gardner right now because she did this to me this morning. I don't know. She's trying to get me to leave in the middle of the show, I guess. Sunshine everywhere.
Just teasing you here, Jeff. No, honestly, this picture, this live view here of Pinehurst Resort and Country Club is where we're seeing just lots of people hanging around enjoying the sunshine. It's a little on the cool side. Temperatures are climbing into the 50s. It's going to be a nice afternoon with 60s. Tomorrow, even warmer. So I imagine that's going to be an even busier spot later on. You know, as we're coming out of the winter and getting a little taste of these spring temperatures, you know, everybody wants to flock outside. So it's great to see. And what a beautiful day. Lots of sunshine. It's 50 degrees currently in the triangle. Our dew point's 28. That just means it's nice and dry. And we'll add another at least 8 degrees to our temperature later on this afternoon. 45 is our current temperature in Roxborough. It's 49 in South Hill, 47 in Rocky Mount. So it's still a little bit cool in spots. 52 in Fayetteville and 51 in Clinton. Around town, we'll see a high of 58 in Raleigh. And in Durham, 61 degrees in Fayetteville. Plenty of sunshine. Now, it's been a little on the cool side. Our wind has been coming out of the north-northeast, but in the next 24 hours, it switches as a front approaches us. And by tomorrow, our wind will be coming out of the south. That's going to bring in more warmth. Notice how the arrows there turn to red to signify turning from cold to turning warmer. And so temperatures will climb about 8 degrees or so tomorrow compared to today. Here's a look at satellite and radar. We're all quiet right now. High pressure that's down to our south, keeping things nice and dry for us and pleasant. 57 is our normal high for this time of year. 58 is what we'll see today. And then we're in the mid-60s for Thursday and Friday. Thursday looks like a really nice day to be outside with those mild temperatures. Friday, we're going to start the day with some rain, and then we'll end up with some clearing in the afternoon, but temperatures will probably fall through the afternoon. We're into the 50s again Saturday and Sunday. We may see an isolated shower on Saturday night, but it looks like the bulk of the weekend will be dry. It is going to be wet to start things out, though, on Friday. Take a look at our tree pollen. It continues to creep up a little bit. We've had a number of days with tree pollen in the medium zone. We're seeing that again today. Elm trees, juniper trees are mostly what we're seeing right now. It looks like tomorrow the forecast is for high for tree pollen, which is an early start this year. I think we had a pretty early start next year. Eventually, I guess it won't really be an early start. It'll just be normal as we warm up our planet and we start to see these warmer temperatures earlier in the year. Our pollen forecast will, or our pollen will begin to pop out a little bit earlier. We take a look at our temperature outlook, and we're looking at the potential for above normal temperatures for the end of the month and into the first week of March. It looks like that will start early next week. Take a look at these temperatures. On the cool side today at 58, but then mid-60s Thursday and Friday, a little cooler over the weekend, but we're pushing 70 on Monday and Tuesday. It looks like we'll see warm temperatures all next week, and then as we take a look at the first week of March, it looks like that may continue. That's great news for people who love spring, but for allergy sufferers, it may not be so great. Typically, a little bit of rain will help to clear things out. It looks like we'll see some of that on Friday and then possibly again on Saturday evening. We'll walk you through the timeline again in just a few minutes.
Quite a little heat wave there. Mm-hmm. All right, Elizabeth, thanks. The Durham Police Department is asking City Council to reconsider the Shot Spotter program. Why the council ended the program after 1 year and why police are pushing to bring it back. That story at 5:30.
Then at 6, there's a push to privatize the DMV. What that proposal could mean for cutting down on lines and wait times, and why it could take more than a year for anything to change.
Happening right now in the WREL Live Center, more than 15 million Toshiba laptop adapters have been recalled because of fire and burn risks. The firm is now called Dynabook, but they said they received almost 700 reports of the adapters overheating, catching fire, melting, or burning. They also had 43 reports of minor burn injuries. I want to show you exactly what this adapter looks like. This is it here. The recalled products have date codes between April 2008 through December 2012. They say consumers should immediately stop using these adapters and contact Dynabook Americas for a free replacement.
Homeownership rates are improving significantly for minorities, except one group. Homeownership rates for Black Americans increased by less than 2% over the past decade. Asian Americans saw a 6% jump. Hispanics experienced a 5% increase. White Americans increased their rate jump by 3%.
Some customers are suing the maker of the Stanley Cup for failing to disclose their tumblers contained lead. Stanley says it's in sealing material used to secure insulation around the base. The company says it's not anywhere that would come into contact with customers. There have been no official reports of health complications caused by using the tumblers. If you own a Wyze smart camera, your video may have been shared with others. The camera maker sent an email to users explaining the security issue after an outage last Friday. When cameras came back online, about 13,000 users saw thumbnail images of other people's cameras. Some could even view video from those cameras. Wyze says the mix-up was because of a third-party video storage service it recently started using.
We're not police. So we're not trying to solve a crime, we're trying to prevent a murder.
How a group of Boston activists is marching to curb crime. And here are your winning NC Education lottery numbers.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
New at 12:30, we're getting an update on the spread of respiratory viruses in North Carolina.
WRAL's Brian Schrader has a look at what doctors are seeing right now and what you need to keep in mind. Brian.
Renee and Jeff, state health officials released that data just a few minutes ago. Here's what it shows for the past week in North Carolina. COVID hospital admissions were up slightly across the state, but overall emergency room visits for COVID-like illnesses, the flu and RSV cases were slightly lower as compared with the previous week. Now that matches with what Triangle area hospitals have seen lately. The peak of the season may be over, but doctors say you need to take these illnesses seriously. Virus levels still are high, and doctors are worried about hospital capacity.
When you have a lot of patients coming in with acute distress from, you know, respiratory viruses, a lot of those patients require hospitalization. And when that happens, those beds fill up and everything kind of backs up from there.
The flu has killed at least 246 people in North Carolina this season, including at least 10 children. Our season runs until May, so it is not too late to get a flu shot. And the best advice to slow the spread of these diseases, if you're not feeling well, stay at home. And that includes your children. They need to be fever-free for 24 hours before you send them back to school. Jeff.
Important information there, Brian. Thank you. An elementary school in South Florida is dealing with its sixth case of measles. The first case was reported less than a week ago. School officials are waiting for guidance from the Florida Health Department. Workers performed a deep cleaning of the building over the weekend and changed all the school's air filters. Florida allows parents to use a religious exemption to opt their children out of traditional childhood vaccinations.
Educators at high-need schools in Wake County will be eligible for more bonuses. The school board approved a new program called Project Leaders. It could mean thousands more dollars for teachers, assistant principals, and principals. They'd also have access to more money for training and teacher education. The new program is designed to improve education and employee retention. It would be for 24 lower-income and lower-performing schools. You can find out more about the program and who's eligible at the education section of WREL.com. School leaders in Wake County are joining a lawsuit against four social media companies. The board voted unanimously at their meeting last night, saying the companies are to blame for a growing mental health crisis among young people. Wake County joins forces with hundreds of other school boards across the country, including 11 here in North Carolina, fighting to protect student mental health. School leaders argue constant access is addicting and harmful to students, and schools have had to handle fallout of psychological damage caused by their apps. Parents hope the lawsuit forces social media giants to take responsibility and change how their apps operate. We reached out to the social media companies, and we're waiting to hear back. In terms of financial impact, the district would pay legal fees only if it wins the lawsuit.
We're working to learn the motive for a deadly shooting on North New Hope Road in Raleigh. It's an update we first reported on our Noon News Tuesday. Pacheco Valentin was arrested last night after the shooting at the Lexington Apartments, which are near the intersection of Capitol Boulevard. Police responded just before 11:30 in the morning and found a woman with serious gunshot wounds. She later died. Her name has not been released. The two men in Kansas City each are being held on a $1 million bond in connection with last week's deadly shooting. It happened right after the Chiefs' Super Bowl parade. Two men, Dominic Miller and Lindell Mays, are charged with second-degree murder and several other felony counts. Radio DJ Lisa Lopez Galvin was killed in that shooting. At least 22 other people were hurt. Prosecutors say a verbal dispute between Mays and a stranger led to shots being fired at the parade.
A grassroots effort to fight gun violence in Boston is gaining traction. One group has been out on the streets every week, marching for change and offering conflict resolution and mediation in domestic disputes. NBC's Malcolm Johnson shares their mission and the inspiration for the movement.
Once a week, this group of black men meet.
Please grant to us success as we go out into these streets to promote peace in our community.
And greet people in the community.
If you ever need us, give us a call. We offer conflict mediation in the community.
Handshakes and hugs to embrace their own. They're called 10,000 Fearless Peacemakers, a group of mediators diffusing disputes.
Sometimes that's all it takes is someone that can intervene and really try to dial down a conflict. And I tell everyone that every conflict doesn't have to end with someone being shot, stabbed, or killed.
A killing in 2019 inspired the group to march consistently to the beat of peace.
There was an elderly grandmother who was murdered sitting on her porch, Eleanor Maloney.
Since then, they've been curbing violence, even mediating domestic disputes.
We just happened to get there at the perfect time and, you know, separated them. So, you know, we was able to just change the energy a little.
They're embraced in the community because they're from the community and not looking to replace police, but provide an alternative.
We're not police, so we're not trying to solve a crime. We're trying to prevent a murder. We're trying to prevent more violence in the community.
Stand up! Stand up!
A group of black men, block by block, looking to change the narrative.
Black men are being seen as gangsters, as drug dealers, as thugs.
And so we're saying that's not our story. That's not all of our story. That may be a fraction of it, but that's not the majority of it. And so we need black men to really stand up and show the other side.
The peacemakers who are also change makers. That was Malcolm Johnson reporting. The group's goal is to get 10,000 black men to join for an hour of power to march in the neighborhoods where they are needed most.
There is comfort food, but people also have their comfort shows, the psychology behind them, and when you might need to take a break.
And how effective are bans on menthol cigarettes to get people to quit smoking? UNC researchers tackled that question, what their study found. If you see news happening or you'd like to share a story idea with us, click Report It in the WRL News app.
You're looking live at a noontime gathering right there in the field. This is the tobacco campus right there, live in Durham. Good afternoon, Bull City. As you watch WRL News, available on YouTube TV and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device.
They're soaking up the sunshine. Mm-hmm. New research shows menthol cigarette bans may actually work when it comes to getting people to quit smoking. Researchers at UNC examined the effects of the bans in more than 170 U.S. cities and several countries. It showed about a quarter of menthol smokers quit within a year or two when the substance is banned from cigarettes. The research also found for those who did not quit after bans were put into place, about half switched to non-menthol cigarettes. A new study by the American Lung Association reveals that electric vehicles could help millions of American children breathe easier. Pollution is dangerous for children because their bodies are still developing and their lungs are small. The report estimates that by the year 2050, switching to EVs could result in millions of fewer pediatric asthma attacks, millions fewer cases of pediatric upper and lower respiratory symptoms, and nearly 150,000 fewer pediatric acute bronchitis cases.
If you have a favorite TV show that you tend to watch over and over again, a lot of folks do, and there are several reasons for that. One psychologist says someone with anxiety may like rewatching the same show because they already know what's going to happen in the end. Others feel nostalgic or happy, and the important thing is to make sure the show is used as a positive distraction.
Often with comfort shows, they're people that we can resonate with. They're stories that we can resonate with. Or they're stories we wish we could resonate with. They kind of give us a break from the normal things that are going on in life right now.
Comfort shows come in all different genres, including true crime documentaries. Experts advise people to be mindful of what you watch to ensure that you don't become paranoid or hypervigilant.
Bugs could hold the secret to making our homes more sustainable. The buildings of the future that could be modeled after termite mounds. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, NOAA, recently listed 2023 as the hottest year ever recorded.
Marianne Rafferty explains how bugs could provide solutions to helping us combat the worsening climate crisis.
With soaring temperatures and erratic weather patterns making life on Earth challenging, Swiss scientists are hoping termites can help us combat the changing climate.
They work with materials that are entirely sourced from their environment.
Studying the materials and methods the creepy crawlies use to construct their homes to unlock how we can make our buildings more energy efficient. According to the National Renewable Energy Laboratory, buildings are responsible for roughly 40% of total energy use in the U.S. and generate about 35% of the country's carbon emissions.
Termites are absolutely incredible at constructing.
But new strategies to better regulate heat and air flows in our homes could come from looking at how termites do the same in theirs.
One of the fascinating things that the termite mound does is that it maintains a humid internal climate, even though it sits almost in the desert in a very arid environment. And it does this while still exchanging oxygen with its surroundings and environment. What we hope to do is use the geometries and the mechanisms found in the mound skin to control the way that a building adapts to its environment.
Termites also create a material from wood and fungus that they can build with. Scientists are trying to generate similar compounds to 3D print more carbon-friendly and sustainable structures.
It's Marianne Rafferty reporting. These technologies are still developing. The EPA says you can help make your home more energy efficient now by making sure it's properly insulated.
It is 1246 and no cloud insulation. We've got clear blue skies out there, so pretty, and lots of sunshine. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner in the WRO Severe Weather Center with when we'll really start to warm up.
By tomorrow, we're going to see that wind shift. We talked about that about half an hour ago. When our winds start to come out of the south, it's going to bump up our temperatures into the mid-60s. We'll see a good bit of sunshine tomorrow. It looks lovely. Friday will still be warm, but we're also looking at some rain to begin the day with, and we're going to walk through that again right now. We take a look at Goldsboro. It is beautiful there. Lots of sunshine in Apex and Chapel Hill, courtesy of Top of the Hill Restaurant. And of course, right in front of our newsroom there on Hay Street. It's a little breezy in our southern counties. So we're seeing winds out of the northeast right now, steady at about 10 to 15 in Fayetteville and Clinton, and gusting at about 15 to 20 there. Elsewhere, we're not seeing as breezy conditions. But tomorrow, as we see that front getting closer to us, we're going to see some breezier conditions. Expect winds at about gusting to about 20 to 25 tomorrow afternoon. After that, we're going to be tracking this cold front coming through. The rain chances are late Thursday night into early Friday, only about a quarter of an inch total for Friday and Saturday combined. We could use a good soaking. It's pretty dry out there. I went out and watered some of the flowers in my yard because they were looking a little sad. This rain is not going to help things really much at all. This high pressure system is helping to funnel the air from the north. High pressure systems rotate clockwise. So with that high to our west, we have a northerly flow. As that high moves east of us, we get into more of that southerly flow. And we begin to see that tomorrow. Also, ahead of a front, we tend to see some winds kicking up out of the south to warm things up. We take a look at future cast for tomorrow afternoon. We'll see increasing clouds. There's 5, 6 o'clock. It is likely to be fairly dry on Thursday evening, but way out ahead of the main front, there may be a disturbance that rolls through. You can see at 9 p.m., Halifax County, Northampton County at 10 o'clock, just north of Rocky Mount, a little shower rolls through and kind of runs right across Wilson County and Edgecombe County close to midnight. And then around 4 or 5 a.m., we start to see a bit more rain developing across our viewing area. If you're an early riser and you're going to be driving around between 6 and 7 o'clock, you're probably going to run into some wet conditions. It doesn't often take a lot of rain to cause extra accidents, so Brian will be talking more about that for tomorrow in on our morning newscast. At 8 a.m., most of it's out of the viewing area, and we start to clear around lunchtime. As we clear, we'll see breezy conditions and, of course, wind coming out of the northwest again, which will bring some chilly air. Just in time for the weekend. Let's take a big picture look at this. Again, some passing showers roll through late Thursday. The cold front swings through around the middle of the day on Friday, and right behind the front, we begin to clear things out. We get a break during the day on Friday. Temperatures will start to fall, and then another front drops in on it. This is 5 o'clock on Saturday. Ahead of that front Saturday afternoon, we may see a quick shower and then some Saturday night rain, but it'll be very light. And then that front moves on by, bringing us some drier conditions for Sunday. So our rain chances, 50% chance on Friday. It's really going to be the first half of the day. And then on Saturday, late afternoon into the evening, and then Sunday looks nice and dry. How much rain total are we talking about? Really, a quarter of an inch or less for Saturday and Sunday combined. Checking out the 7-day forecast, 58 today, 65 Thursday, 66 on Friday. We do have that chance of some rain late Saturday. We look at Monday and Tuesday, temperatures will be warm, but it's also looking a bit more unsettled. We could see a few isolated showers, which we'll be looking at more closely when it gets closer.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Our teacher of the week just couldn't believe she was going to be on TV. Coming up, how this lifelong learner is setting a great example for her students.
She also got to meet Brian Schrader.
I know, right? Big time.
Yeah. Here are your winning Mega Millions numbers.
We wrap things up with a look at a few of the headlines we're following for you today. We now know more about the involvement of a UNC football player, one of three players facing charges in a deadly crash in Chapel Hill. It involved several students from local universities. Court documents show Zachary Rice was closely following another car going 124 miles per hour. That is the car that crashed, killing UNC student Molly Rotunda. 10 people are now charged in this case. 7 of them are local university students.
The search is on for the person who fired shots into a vehicle, causing it to flip onto its side. The Wake County Sheriff's Office says it happened on Mitchell Mill Road near Rollsville around 8 last night. The two people were hurt from the crash, not the gunfire. They were taken to the hospital. We're working to find out their names and condition.
Americans living in or traveling to Russia should leave immediately. That's the warning from the U.S. State Department after Russia arrested a ballerina with dual Russian-American citizenship on suspicion of treason. Russia says 33-year-old Ksenia Karolina donated money to Ukraine. If convicted under the Russia criminal code, she could face 12 to 20 years in prison.
We're heading to Wilson to honor our WRAL Teacher of the Week. Brian Schrader introduces us to an English teacher who couldn't believe she's going to be on TV.
So it was just like a complete switcheroo.
Olympia Jenkins is an English teacher at Wilson Early College Academy. And one of her students, Gideon Probst, sent me an email nominating her as WRAL's Teacher of the Week.
She's just an awesome teacher, and she really helped me understand everything this last semester.
How about a round of applause for Ms. Jenkins?
So we surprised Ms. Jenkins in the middle of class. Jenkins always knew she wanted to be a teacher.
Funny story, I thought I was going to be a chorus teacher, but here I am teaching English.
She loves the kinds of conversations that come up in English classes.
I like having those class discussions with them. I like hearing their opinions and hearing their laughs when I tell a joke about something in the lesson. I like just interacting with them.
Jenkins is working on her doctorate, but for now, she's just happy to be WRAL's Teacher of the Week.
So I always see this segment, so it's going to be very surreal seeing myself on this segment.
In Wilson, I'm Brian Schrader, WRAL News.
How could we not put that on TV, right? You are made for TV, Ms. Jenkins. If you'd like to nominate a teacher, go to WRAL.com and search Teacher of the Week.
She saw it, and now she's living it. Good for her. Our pet of the day comes to us from Cat Angels NC. River is the embodiment of sweetness and calm wrapped in silky fur. While she can tolerate the company of other FIV-positive cats, she secretly dreams of having a home all to herself where she can bask in endless love. River's FIV status won't hinder her lifestyle or health as long as she's an indoor kitty. If you're seeking an incredibly affectionate companion who will always be by your side, you can fill out an application on the Cat Angels website so you can meet her in person.
Looking for a more restful night's sleep without buying a new mattress? Today on WRL News at 4, Consumer Reports breaks down how to refresh your bedding to keep you cool and comfortable while staying within budget. NBC News Daily is next on WRL. Your next local news update in 30 minutes.
You can always get breaking news updates anytime with our WRL News app. Have a great Wednesday out there.
Keep watching WRAL News over the Air Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.